Everybody see okay? Hear okay? Just making sure? All right. It is good to be back together. Even if we can't be closer than 6 feet apart, it is really good to be back together. And like I said earlier, we recognize that some people may not join us in person for a while. But that's okay. This whole season has actually reminded me a lot about what Caitlin has been learning and what I learned in church history class. The church throughout the ages has been both scattered and gathered together time and time again. It is constantly, even always happening. There are churches around the world right now that, regardless of if there was a pandemic going on, that would be scattered because they aren't allowed to meet. But we see throughout the ages, even in biblical times, how the church has been scattered and gathered back together. The early church, the first church, was scattered by persecution. It was in Jerusalem, and it scattered because of persecution expanding out, rippling out, and having an impact across the globe, which is the reason that we are here today. So my challenge to you in this season that has been disconnection, even in a season where we are starting to gather and connect back together a bit more right now, my challenge to you is to find somebody and connect to somebody that's not in your situation. We're here today. There are many of our church members that are not and may not be back for some time. Caitlin, God willing, if you are willing, please pray for Caitlin right now. The hope and prayer provided that God is willing is that she is going to be preaching the online service. So I am preaching to us that are gathered here. She is going to be preaching to people online at 11:15 that are scattered and are not able to participate with us here. But she's going to be preaching the same message, and she is going to be organizing a prayer partnership for the summer. So if you want to participate, what you'd do is you would be partnered up. You'd just send Caitlin an email. You'd be partnered up with somebody who is either not, well, since you're here, somebody who is likely not going to be present, and you're just going to pray for them. You can exchange prayer requests once a week or more if you need, and just be prayer partners so that we keep that sense of connection amongst ourselves, even as we are experiencing that we are the church that is both scattered and gathered. So if you're interested with that, please contact Caitlin. Her email address is caitlin.holly.baird. Baird was her maiden name. She's kept that email, so it'll be in the email this week if you want to participate in that way. One of the things that we both became convicted of, Caitlin and I, in this season, is that sometimes prayer has become this, it seems like prayer has, to some of us, become a little bit of a limp response. That it's you hear politicians or people post this on Facebook all the time, when something bad happens, you know, we send our thoughts and our prayers to you. And then there's nothing else that happens. There's no follow-through after that. And that can sometimes feel unhelpful. Like, praying matters. We want to pray for people, but what we need to recognize is that when we pray, especially as we pray as a community, which is what we are going to be talking about today, which is what we are going to be doing today, that prayer, when we pray as a community, we are asking God, how would you like us to move forward, move ahead of us, and then we will follow you into that. Prayer is not something we do passively. Prayer is something for us to lean into, to ask God to go before us and for us to follow after him. And we need to recognize that when we are not praying, we're actually in a bit of a dangerous and precarious situation. Too often when we make, when I say we, when we see Christians make decisions, especially big decisions, and they're not entering into a time of prayer, they may not be entering into that decision with kingdom intent. And we have to constantly be pushing forward and following God, because that's what we want to do as a church. We want to connect to God, connect to others, and to the mission that God's got for each of us, to your mission. And if we're going to be connecting to God, to others, and to our mission, we need to be connecting to God in prayer. So, we want to take this time to align our communal heart, this first Sunday that we're actually back together, to align all of our hearts, our heart as a church community, to God's heart, to seeing what God has for us in this new and upcoming season, and to charge forward into that boldly. So, I want to invite you, if you've got your Bible, if you've got a phone, I'd say it's going to be on the screen, but we don't have a screen out here, so no screen. We're out of luck there. I feel like there's some button that I should be pushing somewhere, but we're going to roll with it. But I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles or on your phones to Matthew 18. That is the passage that Mary read for us that's going to focus us a little bit this morning. Typically speaking, when a preacher goes to Matthew 18, they're usually either talking about the parable of the lost sheep, or they're talking about church discipline, which reminds me, Evan's family, if I could see you in my office after the sermon, that would be great. That is not, kidding by the way, that is not church discipline. That's not how church discipline functions to begin with. It's not some public call out or anything like that. We can talk about church discipline and how that happens appropriately, and it's used to restore people to the community, to us, because that's the purpose of what has become known as church discipline. But that's another topic unto itself. We'll get to that at some later time. But today we are talking about Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. And the first phrase that Mary read for us this morning, I find fascinating. Verse 18, whatever you forbid, I've got a different translation here. It's the NIV. And it says, whatever you bind on earth. But whatever you forbid or whatever you bind, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden or bound in heaven. And this has been a curious passage for a long time. There's been a lot of discussion about it, and kind of where the consensus has landed, most people agree, what this is actually talking about is us, the community. It's if we agree on something and we say, yep, we're going to live by this standard here, well, that's what we need to live by, because it's us as a community coming together. It's like this. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. Underage drinking, not good, sinful. Drunkenness, we are warned about time and time again in the Bible. But if we as a church family, if we as a community have a member that struggles with alcohol, that we come around and we support and we say, you know what? To help this person, none of us are going to engage with alcohol, then that is forbidden for us. Because we have all decided, we've made a communal decision to say, hey, we're going to not do this, and then if you do this, you're going back on what we as a community said. You're doing something that we as a community forbid, and you're actually going against heaven, going against God by engaging in that. This is one of the hundreds of places in the Bible that talks about community, that talks about why it's so important to be a part of a community, and quite frankly, the power that our community, our church family, that we have to engage with each other, to hold each other up, to support each other. Community matters, and it's important for us to live well in relationship with each other, because what I do affects you, and what you do affects me. But the next two verses, verses 19 and 20, that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Verse 19, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Carter, either one of you here, I don't know why you guys haven't been, yeah, you're in a line. I don't know why neither of you has been agreeing with me that I should win the lottery and become a millionaire, but if you guys could get on that, really appreciate that. No, that's not what this is talking about. We recognize that we're missing the point there if we say this. We recognize there are conditions. If you are praying for something that God is opposed to, first off, don't be praying for that. That seems like a really bad idea. If you are praying and asking for something that God would be opposed to. But even if that's not the case, we recognize that 60 of us could agree on something, and it doesn't always happen immediately. Even if it happens at all, we know that there are things at work. There is God's timing. There is God's plan. And even decisions that we all make that are at work in things. But we are told to keep praying, especially when two or more of us agree. And we are told that in that time, Jesus is with us. Verse 20. For, meaning because, let me get my paper shifted there. Because where two or three gather as my followers, I am there among them. I want to point out a major thing here. We have not stopped gathering the last 3 months. We have still been gathering. We've been using technology, absolutely, but we have not stopped gathering together. We're using technology, we're doing it in different ways, but we have still been the church. This building right here, this is not the church. Our church is right now in the parking lot because that's us. We are the church. It's not a building, it's not a place, it's a body. And that's who we are. And we are told that when we agree, where two or more of us gather, however it is, via phone, via internet, in person, from 6 feet away, whenever two or more of us gather, Jesus is there with us. If you remember, if you were participating in the sermon last week, this is the same Jesus who intercedes for us before God, who carries our requests before God. And the most important thing is that we as the church are united together, however that occurs, that we are united together, agreeing here on earth to pray so that God will show us the way to expanding his kingdom, so that people will come to know Jesus. That's the bottom line. So that more people will come to know Jesus, more people will experience the life change that Jesus has given each one of us here today. Prayer has immense power. That's what this passage reminds me of. That prayer has immense power. It's a huge responsibility. And as we pray together as the church, as we think about that, we just want to talk through a couple of things that will help us engage with prayer together as a church family. Because we are actually going to pray together. You can tell I have not preached in front of people in a long time. I've been preaching at that thing, and it's usually been much closer, and I can focus in on the little circle. It has been a while since I've seen people, just frankly. Confessions of a pastor. Anyways, we are actually going to pray together today. We are going to engage with each other. We're going to pray. And here are some things to keep in mind as we do that. First off, praying together usually means praying out loud. Not because praying out loud is magic, but if I pray out loud, that means you can join me. You can agree with me and say, yeah, I agree with that God. Whether you say, yeah, I agree with that God out loud or in your mind, however, the word amen means, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that may be a little bit of a slang translation, but that's essentially what it means. I agree. So if someone says amen during prayer time, that doesn't necessarily mean it's wrap it up, pastor, though it might. I used to have a pastor. His record was 16 minutes solid prayer after the offering was passed. Loved that pastor to death, but I timed him 16 minutes. I will not engage with us like that this morning, partially because I see the sun trying to sneak through, and I've already gone through one shirt, and I don't want to go. I don't have any spares, so we're going to keep moving. But praying together out loud, even when someone says amen, that's so that you can agree along with it. And I know that some people are uncomfortable praying out loud. If that is you, that is okay. It can feel awkward. It doesn't need to, because we're all in this together. We're all part of one body trying to engage with each other well. But if you feel awkward praying out loud, my advice is take your personal prayer life and see if you can pray out loud in your personal prayer life. Sometimes things feel weird because we haven't done it. We haven't exercised in a while. I've taken up weightlifting since we've had to be at home, and I've tried to lose some weight based on my doctor's orders. And the first time I was doing curls, it did not go well, and I was sore for like 3 days. I hadn't exercised those muscles in a while, but it took a little bit, and it came back to me. If you haven't prayed out loud in a while, pray by yourself. Exercise those muscles. Pray out loud by yourself and see how that works connecting to God. Anyways, pray out loud. You don't need to feel shame or awkwardness when you do it. Second, pray for things that everybody, that your church, your family, whoever you're praying with, your small group, agrees on. Prayer is not the time to promote your agenda, whether that is personal, whether that is political, whether you are praying for K-State to be KU the next time that we're actually able to see a football game, even baseball. I'd settle for baseball at this point. I've been watching marble runs, like marble races on YouTube. That's how starved for some sort of competition life has gotten. But this is not the time to pray for your own agenda. This is time to pray for what you that are gathered agree on. It's also not time to share gossip. You know, oh Lord, please bless the Johnsons because I heard their marriage was in trouble from Suzanne. Sorry, I was going to say Susan because we haven't had a Susan for a while and that was my go-to name. I don't get it. So I took Susan and Ruth Ann and Ann and I messed them all together. Wasn't referring to any of you or Ann if you're watching this. But that's like, that's not the time. Don't share gossip. That's not the way. Third and final thing, pray for things that are on God's heart too. Our God is not a passive God. Our God is watching and engaging with this world, and we know there are things on God's heart too. And so, pray about those. So today we're going to be praying. I'm actually going to invite us to take about the next 5 minutes. I'll give some instruction here, but take 5 minutes and pray together. Whether you want to pray with the people that you're sitting with, whether you want to walk around, you could even, you know, walk around our church building and pray out loud together. You could pray where you're seated. I might go down to the roundabout and pray for us there. But wherever you go, I want to invite us to spend the next few minutes praying. You can keep your eyes open as you pray. There's nothing magical about closing your eyes. Most of us do it customarily, but when I pray driving, I do not close my eyes there. I would encourage you to use that same judgment. But remember, spend some time together praying. If you're praying with somebody that you haven't spent time with, you're not living with, it's okay to stay 6 feet apart and pray. God, there's not a point at which you get to be considered gathered. If you are joining together in prayer, you are gathering in God's eyes. That's how I feel, at least, and I'm pretty sure that God agrees with me on that one. I agree with him. We'll just leave it that way, that we agree with God on that one. but pray. And here are a couple of things that you can be praying for. Some things that are on my heart, that are on our church's heart, that we trust are on God's heart. Pray for health in our country. Even just the fact that we are sitting here outside, some of us wearing masks, all 6 feet apart. There have been other things that have overtaken news in recent weeks, but we know that the pandemic is still moving, and we know that it is still worth praying for. Pray that God will engage with all of us here, that God will continue moving us forward in this pandemic. Our country still needs prayer. You can pray for health for people, specific people. You can pray for wisdom as people engage with each other, even for wisdom for us as a church as we begin to gather back together. But just pray for our nation and our world to navigate this time well. You can also pray for some of the deep divides that we see in our country. It's been on display. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of anger in the air right now. The tensions are on display. And so this is a time that we can be praying for that. Just what I see, wherever there is racism, wherever there is that, it is always worth praying against. And we have seen some of that on display recently. Racism is anti-life and therefore anti-Jesus. And so that is something that is always worth praying against. We also want to be praying for peace in our world, as there has been a lot of hurt and violence, and we want to pray against that. We want to pray for God's peace to overwhelm our nation and our world, for God's justice to reign, and for easing of tension so that we can actually come together and heal divides that have just been pushed into overdrive in this season. So I invite you to pray for that. Pray for peace, for justice, for healing for our country. And most importantly here, pray for God's kingdom to be moved forward. Pray for people to come to know Jesus and ask God, how can I participate in that? How can we as a church move forward into that together? So, I would invite you, for the next few minutes, walk around, find people to pray with. If you want to pray with me, I'm going to be heading out towards the sign. But we're going to take 5 minutes, and we're going to pray. You can pray from where you're seated. You can walk around. But pray that our world will beat the coronavirus, that health will win out, and that life will win out, because that's what God wants. Pray for our country, that God will help heal the deep hurts and divides. And pray that people will come to know Jesus, even in this time above all, that people will come to know Jesus more and more. So, we'll see you in 5 minutes. Take some time to pray, and I'll come back here, give you about a minute warning so that we can gather back together. But take some time to pray, get some people together, and let's go. Well, the sun came back out. I don't know if that is God's cue to say, Ben, wrap it up. It is time to get going. But that's what we're going to do. I like the umbrellas. Way to think ahead, Sawatskis. We have already prayed together, so I'm not going to close this sermon with a prayer, because we've already prayed. And I trust that you are going to continue praying together so that we can be the church who God wants us to be, and so that we can move forward into whatever work that God's kingdom requires of us. But I'm just gonna leave you with this blessing instead. Go in the knowledge that where two or more are gathered, know there that Jesus is there also. May you feel God's presence as you continue to pray together this week, this month, this year, and may you feel Jesus' holy empowerment as you go out into the world. Go forward in God's blessings and go in peace. It's really good to see you guys. Bless you. Take care this week. We'll see you next week. Go in peace.